Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Wednesday, October 11th, author-musician Wesley Stace, a.k.a. John Wesley Harding, will bring his Cabinet of Wonders review to Club Helsinki Hudson in a program to benefit Shaker Museum Mount Lebanon. The show will feature musicians Tracy Bonham, Juliana Hatfield, Stephen Merritt and Suzzy Roach, writers Charles Bach and David Mendelsohn, and comedian Dave Hill. Wesley Stace joins us now, along with Executive Director of Shaker Museum Mount Lebanon, Lacey Schutz. Wesley and Lacey, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Before we speak specifically about this Cabinet of Wonders at Helsinki Hudson, which is a benefit for the Shaker Museum, let's talk about Cabinet of Wonders sort of generally. Wesley, when did you begin doing these, and what's the goal, and what have you accomplished so far?
Well, I don't like to think in terms of accomplishment, but how it started was that I was writing novels under the name Wesley Stace, and I was making music under the name John Wesley Harding, and at some point my publicist said to me, you know, you don't ever mix the two. And I said, well, I don't want to be the tap dancing author or the, you know, the you know, somebody who gets a book out in the middle of a show. And she said, well, you know, be less modest. Why don't we get together an album release show where we can have both of your friends represented? I was like, it's a great idea. And so I think on the first one was Roseanne Cash and Rick Moody was the first ever one. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was great, and we started doing them at shows, and to me as shows, and our base is City Winery in New York City. Basically, it's generally, as the show in Hudson will be, four musicians playing three song sets, two writers, which I like to be as, you know, literary as possible, and great readers, and a comedian. And that's the way it works. And, you know, because the writers want to be listened to, the writers all envy the rock musicians. Mm-hmm. The musicians all want to be listened to as well as writers are listened to. And the comedians right in the center. And it's made a lovely show. And I think we're coming up to our 100th ever show shortly. And we've done them in London and California and all over. And I find it to be a beautiful umbrella under my careful eye, many different things can shelter and be well listened to and appreciated. Now, it's a very convivial show.
How did you land on that ratio, 4 to 2 to 1?
No idea, actually. Well, you don't want too many comedians and you don't want too much writing. That's the idea. No, and I don't know. It's just the way that we did it a few ways, and it's certain, like there were initial mistakes, one of which was there wasn't a house band in the very early shows. And I said, I realized you need a band because you need there to be a feeling of everyone's in this central position together. So everybody will always use the band on at least one or two songs. And we've had many thrilling collaborations that have happened during the show, everything from things as silly as Salman Rushdie singing a verse of a Kevin Ayers song to Aaron Neville singing doo-wop. I mean, just wonderful things, because everybody is into doing, in a short situation, doing their thing as well as possible, and it's my job to make it seem not like a badly put together benefit, but like a really great and well curated show. And of course, that's funny in terms of this instance, because this is the first ever time we've used the cabinet for benefit purposes. It's never happened before. It normally just to benefit me.
How does it come to be a benefit for Shaker Museum? How does this happen?
Well, it's because my friend Lacey Schutz is the
Executive Director of Shaker Museum Mount Lebanon.
And we are very old friends, and I've been looking and following her museum career for some time. And when she reached out to me, and by the way, when I say we're old friends, what I mean is she was the designated driver the night that my daughter was born.
Uh-huh.
That's what good friends we are.
All right.
And we recently met at a museum in your previous job, where there was a kind of a New York folk museum party show that I kind of put together.
Right. The Museum of the City of New York had done a similar sort of benefit for an exhibition that they did on the history of folk music in New York City.
Yeah, kind of Greenwich Village, yeah. Bob Dylan, Gertie's Folk City exhibition. And I was the MC of that show, which was, I think, Pete Seeger's last ever performance, by the way.
If it wasn't, it was very close.
Yeah, it was very close. And so Lacey and I have been friends for ages, and she reached out to me and said, could you put together a cabinet for our museum? And I thought it was a great idea, actually, and immediately. And also, Hudson's kind of handy because New York people either can go to it or live close to it, and there's some artist near there that I thought of quite immediately, at least three of whom are on the bill, who live relatively close. And it all seemed to make sense to me. Plus, we also have a cabinet in New York City 2 days later. So we're kind of piggybacking the two.
Lacey, you then, obviously, since you thought of it, you enjoy the cabinet.
I've been enjoying the cabinets for many years.
You have. You better enjoy the
I mean, it would be an odd time for you to admit that you didn't like it. But
that would have been a horrible personal moment.
But it could have been good radio.
Tell us about the lineup for this Cabinet of Wonders at Helsinki Hudson.
It's a fantastic lineup. Whoever is listening to this radio show will love something about this show, because we have a great writer who has a brand new memoir out about his father and the Odyssey. Daniel Mendelssohn happens to live locally to you. Charles Bock, who's done the cabinet on a few occasions before, and I've also played benefits for him personally in the past. The comedian's Dave Hill, who's on WFMU and has a show called The Damn Dave Hill Show, which is fantastic. He's done many shows for me. Juliana Hatfield, of once of the Blake Babies and of many other things since then, who's currently making an album of Olivia Newton-John cover versions, some of which we'll be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Merritt of the amazing Magnetic Fields, who I'm very lucky the date of this was changed from the 12th to the 11th because it meant he was suddenly available to do it. Tracy Bonham, who's done shows for me before and had that hit single Mother, and she sang a Prince song the last time we played with her. And the last musical guest is... Suzzy Roach, mm-hmm. who I just saw the other day at the party for the Loudon Wainwright, her ex-husband's excellent new memoir. And so she is also doing the show. And she has just done another benefit for you, actually. Tell us about that.
Right. Suzzy performed for the Shaker Museum at our annual fundraising gala with Frances McDormand and Kate Valk. With the Worcester Group, they've been doing a piece called Early Shaker Spirituals, a record album interpretation. Frances and Suzzy performed a piece of that at our gala, and I think Suzzy is going to do some of it at the cabinet as well.
Yes, and also another performer on the bill will be none other than Lacey Schutz, who we're not actually sure what she's going to do, but I think it's entirely appropriate. I think it's entirely appropriate that we should do something where she tells us a little or shows us a little about, you know, Shakerism and its history and when those last Shakers finally died and that kind of thing.
There's still two, right, Lacey?
There are still two left.
Oh, there's two left.
Yes. Two in
will
Maine.
They be there?
No, they will not be there.
it is a fundraiser for the Shaker Museum. Are the funds allocated toward anything specific?
You know, it's as much a fundraiser as an awareness raising event. It's really just benefiting the museum and trying to get the word out about what we're doing at the museum, and you know, reaching a different audience than we would normally have.
What kind of rehearsal time is available for a Cabinet of Wonders show?
Well, you would be absolutely amazed how little rehearsal with the artists happens. I always use the same band for the show, which is three gentlemen. And I used to come up always the night before the show, and we'd have a completely pointless rehearsal where I would pretend to be, you know, because some of the people want to play solo, some people want the band on all three songs with them, other people would like one song on their own, then two with, you know, it comes in many flavors. The three song set comes in many different flavors. Some people just want to, you know, do their own thing. Other people want to be greatly involved. It just depends how much people want to throw themselves on, you know, the comfort of strangers and are comfortable doing that. And I respect all attitudes towards that. And we very rarely have prima donnas who don't get into the spirit of it, because it's a really fun show to do. But after a little while, I just stopped those rehearsals altogether, because there was no point, because the band are so good that people just send us their MP3s. We learn them individually. We get together and at the sound check, and I tell everybody their sound check time. They come. People sometimes make an odd change, or you know, occasionally you get, oh, well, I sent you that MP3, but I don't really do it like that anymore. I went down to, it's interesting. I went to, you know that show Mountain Stage?
Yes, indeed.
I went to do Mountain Stage one time, and having an interest now in these things of how a house band works, I said to the guy, oh, they didn't seem to be playing the arrangement on my album. You know, they knew it, but they weren't really playing the parts from the album. And the guy said to me, oh, well, no one ever, you know, people come, they never play it like this on the album. And that's not my experience at all. My experience is that whatever people send you is exactly how they want to do it. But anyway, so the answer to how much rehearsal is not a lot.
So everybody, does everybody meet when they come for sound check, or do they not really meet until just before the show?
There is a lot of hanging out. And my agent friend Mike has always said that the great movie about the cabinet would not be the one on stage, but the one in the dressing room,
mm-hmm.
just because it's a very friendly social event with, you know, some wine and a lot of chat. People are meeting, other people are reacquainting for the first time in a little while. We're in the house generally from about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and people turn up for their sound check. They then generally stay. I don't encourage the writers who don't need a sound check to get there till about half an hour, 45 minutes before the show begins. We have a pre-match huddle. I explain everything and, you know, and try and tell people that you're going off at that point, but leave your stuff there. Don't worry about, you know, I just try and be a good host to everybody involved. It goes very smoothly with the one proviso that there's nothing problematic about it going wrong either. A mistake made confidently is fine.
How do you come by this wonderful easygoing spirit?
You should speak to my mother and father about that, and the English public school system, and my headmaster's cane.
Oh goodness. As participants collaborate, how do those collaborations come about?
That's really interesting. Sometimes, like Tracy Bonham and Juliana Hatfield are both from Boston, and so they seem to have a little thing cooking that I'm not quite sure what it is. But what I can say is that we have just heard that horrible news about Tom Petty recently, and I was in the car on the way to New York not half an hour ago, and Tracy Bonham wrote to me and said, we'd like to do Wild Flowers with Juliana Hatfield. And that was in no way related to that, because at the time, there was no news about Tom Petty, no news whatsoever. And so little collaborations do occur, and also everybody appears together, you know, on stage at the beginning of the show, which I shan't give away what happens, but there's a beginning, there's a middle, and then everybody's on stage at the end as well. So it's not just a catalogue of events, chapters preceding you. It's like it's a worked out thing where people appear. It makes it sound like a great play. The irony about Tom Petty dying is that at the last show, we played with a fantastic band actually called Hollis Brown, and they wanted to do American Girl as their cover. And so our drummer is the hugest Tom Petty fan in the world. Oh my God, he loves Tom Petty so much. And so we did American Girl at the last show, and Wildflowers might be at the next show. And isn't that tragic? And I'll tell you a beautiful thing. Kevin Ayres, who was in a band called Soft Machine from England that I love. We play his song almost every time, the last song of the night, because it's only got one verse to it that repeats over and over. And it's a particularly joyful lyric, and it's one that you can really get everybody to sing, even if it's their first time hearing it. If they don't sing it the first 3 times, they can sing it the 4th time, because it's such a simple thing. And we've done that song many times, and at some point his daughter was moved to come and see us because she'd heard about that. And at the November cabinet, his daughter, Galen Ayres, will sing with Bridget St. John, the beautiful, legendary English folky, the songs of Kevin Ayres, her father, for the first ever time at our show, because she knew that we did his. And that's the kind of thing that happens. There's a lot of great things that happen. Many beautiful duets and trios and different things have occurred. And generally, it's me just looking down the list of people and saying, ooh, what if we could ask them to do that? And some people don't want to do it, and that's totally fair enough, because everybody has their thing. But if they're comfortable doing something because I just asked them to do it, which, let's face it, they've agreed to do the show already,
mm-hmm.
then you can get people to do wonderful things. Everybody who does any of these things, writing, playing music, or telling jokes, wants to do their very best at a show. It's very rare you get people who, you know, want to sabotage a performance. Everybody wants to be good, and you depend on that being true, and it is true.
And your comedian this time, Dave Hill, is also a musician.
He certainly is, and he'll be playing the guitar for sure, because that's what he... Oftentimes, he'll do a comedy routine that is essentially him playing the guitar and telling jokes simultaneously. A fantastic one was when he read out his tweets he'd sent to was it Noriega or Castro, whoever recently died that day, about what a great guy that guy, what the great times they'd had together. That was one of the legendary cabinet appearances. And the great thing about the writers is that, you know, some writers are comic and great performers. Other writers read incredibly well. And another magic thing is Patrick McGrath, who is a wonderful writer, but he read a piece of such psychological acuteness when he did the show that it silenced, not that they were talking too much, but it silenced a room of, you know, 300 people who just listened to the logic of his piece unfold and were entirely enthralled by it.
We are just about out of time before I let you both go. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the Shaker Museum currently? Lacey?
Well, we're just coming off of a really exciting season. The Mount Lebanon site, the historic Shaker Village at Mount Lebanon, has been open all summer. And we had a wonderful exhibition there on women's suffrage that you and I talked about earlier this summer.
We did indeed.
And we're really excited. We've had a great season, and we're looking forward to this show and making some new friends.
Thank you both so much for your time, and enjoy Helsinki Hudson on the 11th.
Thank you very much.
Wesley Stace's Cabinet of Wonders at Club Helsinki Hudson to benefit Shaker Museum Mount Lebanon will take place this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.